ministry of Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. Our vision, bringing people into the full realization of their potential in God, and our mission, building a community of believers whose lifestyle positively influences change in the society. Welcome to Lighthouse. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregon, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org.
Ladies and gentlemen, please be seated. I have a phenomenal respect for your pastors. And as Pastor Ayo said, our teacher back then was Jimmy. He just a remarkable young man. I have a lot to say, and I'm very humbled to be here. And I will crave your indulgence to go straight into the Word. I acknowledge that it's his birthday, and I acknowledge that he deserves many accolades. We also have many memories to share with you. I may tell you a few funny stories later. But I will crave your indulgence to go into the Word. And to do so, therefore, ladies and gentlemen, I would ask that we pray. And before we pray, I would like you to do something. If you're going to celebrate anybody, anyone, then it must be the God that you serve. For without him, you wouldn't be here. And because of him, you are here. By his power and by his ability, you are here. So may I crave your indulgence to rise and celebrate the Almighty God, for whom nothing is impossible, for whom nothing is too much. We acknowledge and we worship the Almighty God. We give him praise, honor, and glory. We acknowledge our God and Father. We praise him. We celebrate him. Amen. And I will crave your indulgence to remain standing while we pray. Father Almighty God, King of Glory, I ask. There are times, Father, when you speak messages and you have spoken many. Today, Father, I ask you to come. And I pray that we may sit at your feet as you had them sit at your feet, O Lord, upon that mountain when you preached the sermon that changed the world. I pray, Father, today that by the grace of your Holy Spirit, you speak to this people and those who will listen and those who will watch. And I pray that you change the course of their lives fundamentally. I pray, my Father, that you place them in the center of your will so that your plans, your purposes, the things that you have determined may become a reality. I ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, through whom we have fellowship with you. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, please be seated. Today, ladies and gentlemen, we have a guide. And our guide will be Joseph. This is part of the Kingdom Wealth series, and I'll explain why I said that. You, as a church, have been remarkably blessed over the last 6 to 8 weeks. I know that because I've listened to every message, and it has been humbling to hear the level of ministry that's come from this pulpit, Therefore, I am genuinely humbled to stand amongst great people. Today, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to go through Scripture, and the title of my message is very simple. It is Becoming God's Problem Solver. Becoming God's Problem Solver. For kingdom wealth is very interesting. And so we will take our scripture from the book of Genesis, chapter 1. I will read from verse 26, and I will stop at verse 28, and I'm reading from the King James Version of the Bible. And the Bible says the following, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image, in the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Ladies and gentlemen, whenever you see something in the Bible for the first time, I want you to remember when you are interpreting the Bible, it's called the law of first mention. The law of first mention, because the Bible is true, whatever God says about something first sets the boundaries of that thing throughout the Bible. You are mentioned in Genesis 1, 26 to 28, and God not only gives you his project plan for eternity, but he also gives you the pattern which he follows to create his wealth. And the way he wants to manage and cause to thrive the world that you and I live in. Therefore, we realize that, and I'll say this, and you will need something to write on. So please, if you may take out your phones, you may use your iPads, you may use a piece of paper, but please write. If you are one of the ushers and you are not doing something critical, I don't mind if you sit down and write. It will make me happier, sincerely. The Bible says the following, that in Genesis 1, 26 to 28, there's something you must understand. And let me say this early. When we are talking about kingdom wealth, he is not talking about anything except you. You are God's wealth. You are God's resources. And God's wealth and resources are on your inside. That means whenever God wants to solve a problem, he will sow a man. Whenever God wants to get a harvest that solves a problem in the life of many, he will sow a man. Not any man, he will sow a man that he has prepared. You say, Pastor, you said sow. Yes, not send, sow. He will plant you in the problem area he wants to solve. He will send you. He will place you. He will commit you into that problem because he knows that when you become who you're meant to become, the problem is solved. On the back of that, he will put all his resources at your disposal when you become that kind of person. And so, ladies and gentlemen, I want to lead you through this, and I want to lead you through it quite quickly. But whenever you want to go through something this large, it's always better to have a guide. And therefore, we will allow Joseph to lead us through the reality of what we are about to understand. Joseph's story you will find in the book of Genesis, reading from verse chapter 39 going forward. You realize that Joseph, and he is our guide. So let's understand, Joseph was a delayed child, meaning there was a lot of prayer that went into his arrival. That means when Joseph arrives, after intense prayer, you realize that God was specifically involved as he has been specifically involved with your life. And he, ladies and gentlemen, is our guide. But write this down, please. To achieve God's goal, he will do two things. To achieve his goal of ensuring that his wealth finds its way into the hands where it's meant to be, he will do two things. The first one is God will develop character. And then God will establish or gift ability or resource. He never breaks that pattern. God will first create character, and then he will give ability. In Genesis verse 1 to 26 to 28, the pattern is as follows. God says, this is my project plan. The Bible says, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. In our image is indicative of character. After our likeness is indicative of function or ability. But remember, Joseph is our guide. And so, to take you through, let me show you something. So what happens to Joseph first and foremost? And I'll tell you the story and then we will go to the crunch of what I'm about to say. The first thing is this. God gives Joseph a dream. He gives him a picture of tomorrow that has no bearing on today. Let me repeat that. He gives Joseph a picture of tomorrow that has no bearing on today, but that sets that boy's course from that moment forward. It means when God made you, he placed his plans and his purposes in your heart. Let me explain that. That means God has given you a picture of tomorrow that he sees, that he wants you to become so that his problem is solved. He may give you a dream. He may give you a desire. He may give you a hope, but he will give you a picture of tomorrow. We find that in Genesis 1:27. The Bible says, therefore, that so God made man. God made man in his image. So he created him in his image. After the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Let me show you something. Notice, in Genesis 1:27, the Bible says God made man in his image. But then it says the same thing, but changes the words. It then says, for in the image of God created he him. Let me explain that. If I wanted to create something in my image, or if I wanted to paint a self-portrait, I will put a mirror in front of me and I will paint myself. Do we agree? That means that is my image. That's me. So when God was first creating you, his focus was himself. That is why you have the grace and ability to do what only God can do. You say, Pastor, that's not necessarily true. Yes, it is. Only God can traverse time. Only God can be in yesterday, today, and forever at the same time. Do we agree? Do we agree? Okay, now I want you to do something for me. How many of you can remember this time yesterday? Raise your hands. If you can remember this time yesterday, raise your hands. Let me see. Now I'll know whether you're listening or not. Okay, that means you cannot remember yesterday. How many of you can remember where you were this time yesterday? Let me see. Okay, most people. How many of you can remember your first day at school? Now I've got your attention. Now I've got your attention. So how many of you can remember any one of the schools that you went to? Let me see your hands. Right, everybody. And I hear by your response that the emotions and the challenges, the feelings are as real today as they were then. Do we agree? Yes. Now, I want you to ask yourself, how many of you are here now? Let me see your hands. That's nice. I've got your attention. You see, ladies and gentlemen, there is a fundamental difference between hearing and listening. The Bible says in Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Not listening. Hearing. You only hear me if you process what I say into an action. That means if you process what God says into an action, you are hearing him. The result is faith. So when I say, if you are here now, and everybody raised their hand, I know that you're here because you've processed what I've said into an action. But let's stay on track. How many of you can imagine a future that is better than today? Let me see your hands. How many of you have a house that is not yet built that you will one day live in? Let me see your hands. How many of you can see yourself at an event, whether it's a graduation, a marriage, or a child's marriage, that hasn't happened yet? Let me see your hands. Wave your hands. Okay, now I've just proved something to you. Forgive me, I'm a very practical teacher. The only other creature in the universe, or the only other person in the universe, because God was not created, that can do what you just did, is God. You just went to yesterday. You are currently here now. And yet you have the ability to go to tomorrow. That means you, ladies and gentlemen, are God's child. There is no argument. So, when God says, this is my pattern, it is the pattern that will follow you. God gave Joseph a dream. And God gave Joseph a dream. And let's go through, because God created character in Joseph. But let's go through verse 28. So verse 27 we've established. The second part of verse 27 that I want to establish. Now remember, this is, so God made Joseph in a particular image, his own image. But then he said, and in the image of God created he him. That means it's an image I have for tomorrow. Even though it's my image. But it's not of me. It is just of tomorrow. So what did God give him? He gave him a picture of tomorrow that governed his today. The Bible says in Proverbs 29 verse 18, where there is no vision or where there is no picture of tomorrow, the people perish. Why? Because happy is he that keepeth the law. Please write this down. Discipline is a product of vision. Because the discipline to govern today comes when you have a picture of tomorrow. How do I know? The thing that got you out of bed this morning at 5, 6, or 7 was the fact that you had to be here at 9. The discipline that creates today is a picture of tomorrow. Meaning, if God has given you a picture of tomorrow, he has created your future now. That means it cannot fail. Why? Isaiah 55 verse 11. If God says something, it has no right to fail. So God did two things. He made man in his image and he gave him his image. Male and female, he created them. We'll come to gender in a moment, but then we come to verse 28. So God has created character. Then he adds ability. But let's go back to our guy. Joseph is born and he goes to his brothers. He interprets a dream, and the dream, in essence, angers his brothers. And his brothers send him to Egypt. They say that this kid we must kill. His brothers gather around and they make a plan, and the plan looks like evil. The plan is executed. One of his brothers steps in and says, you know what, let's not kill him, but let's sell him to the Ishmaelites. The Ishmaelites come at the right time, almost prepared. They sell Joseph to the Ishmaelites. The Ishmaelites are not going anywhere except Egypt. You will understand that in a moment. The Ishmaelites take Joseph on a journey. They sell him in Egypt. But Joseph is not sold to any Egyptian. He's sold to the king, captain of the king's guard. Meaning, Joseph now finds himself in a royal household. He learns Egyptian. He learns the decorum of royalty. He learns how to function in a household that is not his. He learns how to excel in a foreign land. And let me say this clearly. We will run into Joseph in a moment. But let me say this clearly. Destiny many times comes dressed as trouble. Because destiny brings preparation before it brings performance. You are God's source of wealth. And so using Joseph's life, let's have a look. Let's see whether we can't break down in very simple terms Genesis 1:28. For you are God's wealth. God wants to sow you into somebody's life so that there is a difference. So in Genesis 1:28, what does God do with his creation? The Bible says the following. The Bible says he blesses them. A blessing, ladies and gentlemen, is a transfer of God's ability so that by God's ability you are able to do something you couldn't do before. Does he do that for Joseph? Yes, he does. Joseph has two gifts. Two. Number one, he is able to manage other people's businesses. Number two, he is able to interpret dreams. Those are all, those are the two gifts that Joseph has. He gives him two skills that seem unconnected. God has blessed you. So the first thing that God will do to create kingdom wealth is bless you. That means, ladies and gentlemen, as you are sitting here, as long as you are breathing, there is a gift, a skill, or a bent that God has placed within you that he wants to use to change the world. You say, Pastor, that cannot be true. I'm going to ask, I'll quote it for you. Proverbs 22 verse 6 speaks of the responsibility of parents. And the Bible says, train up a child in the way that he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. Is that in your Bible? Yeah. If the guys at the back have this, if you have the Amplified Bible, classic version, not the new one, the classic one. The Bible says in the Amplified, train up a child in the way that he should go in accordance with his individual gift or bent. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. Ladies and gentlemen, what that means is my job as a parent is not to make you like me, but to discover what God has placed within you and create an environment to make sure that gift comes alive. That means I will create circumstances around my child that is gifted in music. I will take him from the playground and I will put him in a music class, probably to his distress and trouble. But when he is standing collecting the Oscar 25 years later, he will thank me. That's how God functions with you. He only sends trouble to shape your gift. He only sends pressure. He only sends circumstances. He only sends situation to shape the gift that he will use to change the world. Joseph's gift of interpreting dreams was trained in trouble. He told his brothers, "This is my dream." There was trouble. He told his parents, "This is what my dream is." There was trouble. He then has to interpret the dreams of a butler and a baker. If he had been anything except God-focused, he would have said, the last time I interpret a dream, It got me here. I'm not going to interpret yours because I don't want any more trouble. But he said, God's given me a gift. I have to use it. So in distress, he helps people worse than himself. And he says, tell me your dreams. He interprets their dreams accurately. And that brings him to the place of his breakthrough. Pharaoh then has a dream. Why? Because God has trained a Joseph to interpret it. And that is his bridge to walking into a source of wealth and ability you cannot understand. And that will be your story. Why? God has sent you to solve somebody's problem. And whosoever problem you solve, it will promote you. God has done what? He has blessed you. The second thing he does in Genesis 1:28, and we've already spoken about this, the Bible says, and God said unto them. When God says something unto you, he gives you a picture of tomorrow. How did God say to Joseph? He gave him a dream. How did God say to you? I'm not sure. A word, a dream, a hope. Or he places in the heart of your pastor a sermon series that is designed to change your life. You are sitting in the place of destiny because you are about to become God's problem solver. So, what does he do? He speaks. How does God speak to you? Please, ladies and gentlemen, read the Bible. And we'll come to that later. But God speaks to you through his word. He gives you a picture of tomorrow through his word. He gives you a picture of how your challenge will turn out through his word. He gives you a picture of who you are, what you're meant to be through his word. And so what does he say to Joshua? To ensure that Joshua succeeds. He says in Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night. For so shall you observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then you will make your way prosperous and you shall have good success. Now, what was Joseph saying in prison? God said, one day they'll bow to me. That this is not the end. The dream is real. One day, the dream is real. One day, the dream is real. So God will say. Third, the third thing that God did for Joseph was he made Joseph fruitful. He made Joseph fruitful. Fruitful means you have to be the you that God has created at all times. Joseph, now let's follow me with Joseph. Joseph's our guide for the moment. Joseph manages his father's business and he is promoted. Do we agree? Yes. He gave him a coat of many colors because he realized you can manage businesses. Joseph manages Potiphar's house. That means even when Joseph was in distress or trouble, he was still himself. Joseph manages the prison. Do we agree? God promotes him. God makes sure, and God doesn't break him out. God says, do what you do. Be yourself. That means he was himself at home. He was himself in trouble. He was himself in distress. What does Pharaoh ask Joseph to do? Come and manage my nation. He doesn't ask for anything else. So what is the key? Ladies and gentlemen, fruitfulness is you have to be the real you. You have to be the you that God has decided you to be. Now, I'm going to wrap this up in 2 minutes, 2 to 3 minutes. and then I will teach you how God wants to prepare you. The resources you are praying for, the breakthroughs, the hopes and desires will come to you naturally when you follow the discipline of being fruitful. So how was Joseph fruitful? He was himself. Where did he learn the gift of managing other people's things? From his father. Do what you do naturally. There is something you can do. Now let me say this carefully. Please hear me well, ladies and gentlemen. There's something you can do without effort. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians chapter 4, reading from verse 7, the Bible says, grace has been given unto all of us according to the gift of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that he has placed in our hearts. Every single one of you has grace sufficient to make your gift work. But you've got to be brave enough to identify what that gift is. That means you may be able, you will probably do things other people cannot do or do not want to do. Let me put it into a phrase and move on. They will pay you the most for what you would do for free. They will pay you the most for what you would do for free. What would you do for free? You would be yourself. What you are willing to do for free. If you were to take all the money away from many of the footballers, they will still play football. Because that's what they're wired to do. That's what they're wired to do. What are you wired to do?
This message is brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregun, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org. For more,